Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I thought of this week, I said to myself, Dean, because that's my name.
It's a good start. Nice to meet you.
Dean, I should change the opening theme song to the show.
It's kind of daring.
From this song, the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, Sunday Morning, to something else. I don't know what else. I don't know what else I would change it to. I just thought we've been using this as a theme song for a long time.
What's wrong with this? I don't get tired of this.
I've been playing it for 100 years.
Have you been using this ever since you started the show?
I think so.
Well, what would you change it to?
I don't know.
Is the requirement it says Sunday in it?
Well, I guess so. I don't know.
You know, there's that Maroon 5 song, Sunday Morning.
We had that one, too.
Yeah. Easy Like a Sunday Morning.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah, Commodores, Lionel Richie, Easy Like a Sunday Morning.
Right.
So that would work.
Sunday will never be the same.
Oh, yeah?
The old Spanky and Our Gang song.
Wasn't there like a
70s? Well, after this show, Sunday has never been the same.
Wasn't there a 70s like bubblegum pop song, Beautiful Sunday?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Let me see here.
That one. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like when all of them are playing at the same time.
Now, that would be something new.
That's what we could do. That would change it up a little bit if we played all of them at the same time.
Yeah, because everybody gets to hear their favorite.
I don't know how to turn on these off, these computers. There you go. You get the idea.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about this during the week, and I'll come up with some suggestions for you.
If possible, something after 1950, if you're going to be
back. Oh, okay. All right. All right. I can do that.
Well, now let me see. After 1990.
1990.
Can you do that? Can you? Are you able?
I can do that. Yeah. And wait, after 1990?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't want to go U2 Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, that's
no,
you know exactly the feeling that I want to start the show with. I did hear a song in the grocery store the other day that it was a nice song about Sunday, something about Sunday morning. It was nice, and I meant to do the Shazam on my phone, you know, the app, where you push the button on the app, and it tells you what the song is, and I was busy.
I know how to do that.
I was busy thumping melons, if you must know.
Have you ever had a hankering to bag potatoes when you walk by
No, I can't even look at potatoes from my early childhood job of bagging potatoes. I can't even look at them.
I can see you doing that. And on after about the 30th bag, looking at your watch going, what time is it?
Yeah, but you know, the thing is I thought I was a multimillionaire, though, making a dollar an hour. It wasn't even a dollar an hour. It was a dollar for the whole day.
It wasn't even a dollar an hour?
It was a dollar for 8 hours of bagging stupid potatoes.
You made a dollar a day on that job?
A dollar a day, yeah.
Do you remember what the minimum wage was at the time?
I don't think I was exactly a legal worker at that time.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains that then.
I do believe that I may have been...
You were violating child labor laws, were you?
I wasn't. I was the equivalent of a small child making Nike shoes.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I was being taken advantage of by the man. So
at the end of the day, they gave you a dollar.
And a whole dollar.
And you rode home on your bike.
I thought I was Daddy Warbucks with the
dollar.
With the dollar. I was like, hey, look, I went back to my friends. Look at this one. Look what I got. I got a dollar.
I know.
And potato blisters on my hands.
I thought I was rolling in money in my first job when minimum wage was 2 1/4 an hour, and that's exactly what I earned.
Right. right?
So,
so on the text line, don't change the song. Do not change your theme song. I love it.
Yep.
Keep the song. We need consistency in our lives.
Yes, we do.
I love the song. Don't change it. I won't know what station I may have on. Wow. Well, you know, so we'll see. I don't know. I just had the thought this week.
Well, it's coming up on 10 years for me being on the program.
I'm a good one for that, though, where I'll just change something for no good reason.
Just to do it.
Just I get a like a bug in my pants.
Do you want to confuse me, too, I'm sure.
Would you be confused?
Yes, I would. I've heard this ever since the big show of the beginning, and I've been here 10 years with this show.
847 area code, please don't change the intro song. I love it. Dean, Dave, and Andy are the best of WGN. Do you hear that?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The applause is for you.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment for us or an insult for everybody else.
Is that what they say on the text line, or is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying. Just saying. That's all I know. All right, so we were talking about Ross Perot during the news, and I was trying to remember who did him, and Andy was correct. It was... Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live. And here's...
You people don't quit now, do you? Now, is this the way we're going to play the game here? Are you guys going to keep asking these asinine questions till you see some dirty pictures? Is that what you want? Huh? Is that what you require? All right, now let's have it your way. Now, imagine, if you will, that you were a father. Now, imagine the nausea you would feel seeing a picture of your daughter on the eve of her wedding, your own flesh and blood altered in this sick fashion. Take a look there.
That's funny. That was a funny impersonation.
Now, are you happy? Are you happy? There it is. This is a
Dana Carvey, who also did George H.W. Bush, right?
Yep.
Also did George H.W. Bush on the show. And I guess, you know... you think about it, they've been spoofing presidents ever since Saturday Night Live has been on, right?
I remember them doing Jimmy Carter.
They did when the show first came on.
Yeah.
Wasn't their original spoof of President Ford?
Yeah, it was Chevy Chase would fall all the
Chevy
time.
Chevy Chase who would fall all the time playing Gerald Ford on the show. And Chevy Chase says that's now why he has back problems from all
Seriously?
That. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
from all of the falls
he all of the pratfalls that he did, it left him with permanent damage, apparently. Who did Reagan on the show? I'm trying to remember. I remember Johnny Carson used to do a dead on Reagan. But who did somebody must have done Reagan on SNL, though I don't remember who. Bill Clinton was done by Daryl Hammond, mostly, right, on the show. The Bushes, Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell did George W.
George
Bush.
George W., yeah. And a couple of different actors did Barack Obama on the show. So it's, you know, it's a time-tested tradition on that show to have something like that. All right, so we've got things to discuss here today, including a special show that we're going to do in a couple of weeks. Normally, we would do our big tree time broadcast out at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. I don't know how many years we've been going out there, but it's been a long time. It's got to be 5-6 years, right, that in a row that we've done that, where we go out there, we have a blast, and we pack the place. The place is overwhelming with you know, viewers, listeners, and viewers who come out to say hello, to watch the broadcast, to see if I could really shoot an apple off of Shawnee's head with a bow and arrow.
I'll never forget that day. I still have that poster, by the way.
What do you have? Where do you have it?
It's in...
Is it in your living room?
No.
Is it above the mantle?
Nope. It's in my storage space.
Because it's a gigantic poster. And we put the apple on top of the poster, therefore I was telling the truth when I said I would shoot an apple off of his head. But
this was going to be done, though, was the thing that was on my mind driving out there.
Because I never told you what my plan was for that. But you know, we've had fun with that. We've had Christmas sing-alongs, holiday sing-alongs. The famous 12 Days of Christmas sing-along now is legendary. You know, people equate that with visiting the windows at Marshall Fields for the holidays every year. Going to the Walnut Room, hearing our broadcast out of Tree Time. But alas, that darn pandemic has stepped in, and we're not going to be able to do the Tree Time show, at least not from Tree Time this year. We are going to do a Tree Time special with many of the elements that were part of the show, but, you know, we have to put everybody's safety, you know, number one, of course, so we can't get together in that close setting anymore. And we appreciate it. I'm not bragging, but I mean, a lot of people come out to that broadcast every year. It's packed. It just would be too many people, and it just would not be a safe environment for any of us. So we're going to try to recreate as best we can the Tree Time Christmas show that's held before Veterans Day environment here in the studio. In 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? November 8th? Is that two Sundays?
That sounds right, yes.
Yeah, 2 Sundays from now?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to play back some highlights of some of our past shows, and we'll do some of the things that we've always done out there live and in person right here in the studio and try to have some fun and make the best of it, right? It's all we can do. People have asked, will I be making Schwanee and Andy eat disgusting things like we've done in the past? And I think I can say yes right now.
See, the best part is I'm a little bit of a distance from you, and I can lock this door.
Well, that wouldn't be in the spirit of the show.
Well, it would be in my spirit of the show, yes.
I can just stay home.
Well, you two are the party poopers. Come on.
Hey, every party needs a pooper. You know that.
What the heck? Come on. What would be the worst thing I'd make you eat?
Well, I mean, if it's anything like what you brought to the table, literally and figuratively, last year, I don't know how much you can do worse.
What did we have last time? Oh, we had the turkey, worms and
the turkey.
We had the turkey testicles.
Parts.
Turkey testicles. Yeah. Yeah, we can say. I think we can say.
I just did. Sorry.
Testicles. I think we can say that.
My stomach was upset for a week.
That's why we're known as the Borat of Sunday morning radio shows. We can push the line like that here. I don't know. I don't know. We'll just have some fun. We'll see.
We will.
I'm down for some fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Fun for me to watch you guys eat this.
We can do that.
All right. Well, mark your calendars, everyone, and if you have ideas of things you'd like us to do on this special Tree Time show that is not at Tree Time, this special holiday show that is several days before Veterans Day, not Christmas, and is not at Tree Time but here in the studio, we're looking for, you know, holiday fun ideas. We're trying to make the best of this given the circumstances that we've got this year. So, you know, let us know. Drop us a line on social media, whatever your favorite way of communicating with us is. Far-flung forecast, do you have a good one for us today?
We do. Yes. Right. Celebrating an anniversary.
All right. And that's coming up right after this. WGN! Now it's 9:27, and it is time once again for your far-flung forecasts. A fascinating compendium of interesting facts and figures with your award-winning host, David Millard Fillmore Schwann.
Are you getting presidential on me, are you?
I'm in the mood.
The election's a week from Tuesday. Why not?
Debate, and I voted, and the election's coming up. I decided to make you
Millard Fillmore.
America's favorite president.
Millard Fillmore. Not James Buchanan.
Nope.
Not Rutherford B. Hayes.
Nope.
Not Grover Cleveland.
Nope.
Martin Van Buren.
Nope.
Or Zachary Taylor. But
now you're Millard Fillmore. Just showing off now.
Well, you know what? We can work a real president into this far-flung forecast today because we are going to Buffalo, New York. Buffalo, New York, which has a population of 255,284 people. And next to New York City, it is the second largest city in the state of New York. With a history.
What's the first?
Oh, it's... Let's New see Rochelle. Here. I got to run the end.
That's where Rob and Laura live.
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie and Schenectady. No. Buffalo, New York goes back to the late 1700s and also known as the City of Light because of its early electric power grid that was there, thanks to Niagara Falls, which isn't too far away. Niagara Falls.
Slowly I turn.
And step by step. Had to work it in.
Do you know what that means, Andy?
I've heard that bit before, yes.
It's an old vaudeville.
Yeah,
bit.
I've heard that one.
Buffalo, New York, however.
Swanee and I used to do a vaudeville act.
did that routine.
On the Odeon circuit.
Now, you know what? You and I should do that routine sometime. Our own interpretation.
We could do it on the Tree Time Show.
Couple
of weeks, yeah.
Old vaudeville interpretation.
Say, did you call me pal? I haven't heard that word. Wow. Buffalo, New York, however, was the site of a great deal of attention 195 years ago tomorrow.
Okay.
Because Buffalo, New York was the site of the ceremonies to dedicate the Erie Canal, which ran from Buffalo, New York, all the way up to Albany, which connected with the Hudson River, connected with New York City. The idea was to bring goods and services from New York into what was called the West, the Wild West.
Crazy. Only crazy people would go there.
As a result, that connecting the Great Lakes, you had cities like Cleveland, Detroit, and this new village that was way out west at that time in 1825 called Chicago, which was just getting started.
Nobody would ever go there.
Nobody. Well, that's what a bank downstate said one time. It's too far away. Nobody ever is going to move
gonna
there.
Go there.
But Governor
DeWitt. Like their pizza, though.
It's always been good.
Governor DeWitt.
The Native
Clinton.
Americans. You know that the Native Americans used to make deep dish pizza? They invented it.
They did?
Yeah.
You're stringing me along here.
And you're following right along.
I guess I am.
And the Bloomin' Onion also.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what Chicago means.
Yeah, Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, or place of the wild onion.
Yeah, well,
we'll be nice about it.
Same thing.
But Buffalo, New York was the site of the festivities to dedicate the Erie Canal on October 26th, 1825. And today, Buffalo, New York has cloudy skies and 40 degrees.
How about that?
So, yeah, the Erie Canal really opened it up. What I didn't know was that they were talking about building this canal in the 1780s.
Really?
And it was delayed. Of course, politics, nothing new there.
No.
Kind of put it off. And when they finally opened it up, the governor took some criticism as the canal being called Clinton's folly. But it opened up this country. So here's to the Erie Canal.
So people may not have come to Chicago, and we may not have become the trading capital of America, really. I mean, you know, being in the center of the country, we could get goods and services all over the place had that not happened.
That's right. That's right. And then soon after the railroads. So, yes, indeed, this Erie Canal played a very important part in Chicago and the rest of the nation.
Very educational.
Just call me Professor.
Very educational, Millard.
Professor Millard.
Professor Fillmore. The news is coming next. 9:39, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. Hopefully you're staying warm today.
I broke out the hat. I am determined not to get my annual really bad cold that I usually get in January. January, February, I usually get a really bad cold. And I think part of it's from all the hugging and kissing from the holidays, which I don't think is going to happen this year. You know, the hugging and kissing part, because everyone's keeping socially distant. But also, I'm just taking every precaution to stay warm and, you know, all the things to try to avoid that this year. Because, you know, if I feel a sniffle coming on, I think I've got it. I think I've got the COVID. So, you know, I'm taking every precaution.
No, it's a great strategy. And, you know, we showed in the Southern Hemisphere that if we do continue to do things you're talking about, we may even have a very mild influenza season. Now, that being said, I'm still encouraging everyone to get flu shots, you know, right now.
Right.
But hopefully we can curtail that illness as well this year.
So while we're talking about the holidays, just, you know, real quick, I mean, people are thinking about what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? What are we going to do for Halloween, our people are thinking. But what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? What are we going to do for Christmas, Hanukkah, all of the holidays that are coming up? The traditional family get-togethers, probably not a good idea this year, right?
It really isn't. When you look at the trends and you look at our numbers right now, I host Thanksgiving for my family. It's the greatest, you know, tradition we have, and it's very fun. But this year, we're not going to do it. We just think that it's much safer to let's celebrate alone, and we'll do a Zoom call, and we'll share what we're all thankful for. But this is one year, I think, that you're going to want to minimize any of those interactions and large gatherings. You know, you can't, it's difficult Thanksgiving when you think of the typical Thanksgiving meal where you're all seated around one table and you're there for half hour, 45 minutes, an hour. With the percentage positivity rate in asymptomatic people, I am strongly discouraging that this year.
Yeah, and also, you know, probably your elderly relatives. I mean, it's a time to get together with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncle, you know, uncles, aunts. You know, everybody is there, and many of them probably are extremely high risk. It's just not worth it.
You got the vulnerable population, and then you're bringing home the college kids and students as well. So, I mean, the chance of positivity is still very high now.
Yeah, it's just going to have to be a weird year this year.
Let's just write off the whole year.
Let's just write off the whole year. And, you know, Halloween, too, people are coming up with strategies of how they can safely pass out candy to the kids this year without, you know, actually handing them a bowl to reach into or handing them something. People are sliding things down to kids who are 6 feet away. Is that safe? I mean, because this is an airborne disease, is that safe to slide food down, candy down to kids?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of novelty of how we can do this and continue this one, but this is another one I'm concerned about. If you think about it, these are kids. They're running from home to home. If you live in a suburban setting, you might get a couple hundred kids easily coming to your door, yelling, screaming. And we know that in choir practices, we know in some other church settings where this has gone further than the 6 feet. So you can imagine a little kid excited, screaming, yelling, trick-or-treat, running with their friends.
Yeah.
Now all essentially you've done is say, let me try to be exposed to as many people as I possibly can in the shortest period of time.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make much sense.
Ah, okay. So what are you thinking? Just leave candy outside or completely bypass the whole thing?
Yeah, one of those two. Those are the two extremes, obviously, is just, you know, leave a bucket outside and know that you hope that the honor system works and the first kid through doesn't take the whole bucket. But I would really try to minimize those interactions. You don't know where these kids have been. You don't know what's going on with them. And we know that a lot of kids are asymptomatic carriers. So I'd be really, really careful this year. And it's unfortunate, so parents, maybe you're thinking of the, you know, the trick-or-trunk, you know, so you get with a group and they kind of get into a parking lot and do it or in a cul-de-sac. Find out some other ways to celebrate or to have fun on Halloween because we don't want a super spreader in a neighborhood where now we have infected an entire pocket of a neighborhood, which will really be difficult to control.
Yeah, it's I think just all the holidays this year are going to be really, really strange. So back to the news of the day. with regard to COVID. Yesterday, it was reported that the United States has hit the highest point ever in the pandemic. Not a resurgence, but the highest point ever since this whole thing began. And new numbers out today are showing the same thing. Here in the state of Illinois, highest numbers ever. I mean, what is going on right now?
Yeah, well, you know, we've talked, Dean, all since this has been going on, our concern about a second surge here is in the fall and into the flu season. And we're certainly seeing that. I think the unfortunate thing is we never got down as low as we really wanted. And because of that, we're seeing that resurgence much earlier than we thought it would happen. I'll just give you an example. You know, for us at CDH, we hit our peak at 97 COVID patients with 50 in the intensive care. 3 weeks ago, we got it down to 8 with none of them in the intensive care unit. This morning, we're back up to 40 with 7 in the intensive care unit.
Wow.
So a trend that we really are not liking at all.
And do you think it is because of the so-called pandemic fatigue that people just are tired of taking precautions and are being careless? Is there something physiological that's going on? What's your best guess at this?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those two. Whether it's fatigue and complacency is one thing. We're kind of getting used to wearing masks, but I can tell you so many times I see people with masks and it's on their chin or it's below their nose, you know, and just barely covering their mouth. So I think that's part of it. Plus, we know that this new strain that came out, you know, in the summer here spreads a lot more easily. So the other concerning thing is we're still seeing, until just recently, at least here in the suburbs, you know, the bars and restaurants areas where we saw that, you know, the inverse proportion of the number of drinks you have decreases the amount of time you're going to wear a mask and you're close to people. So we kind of got what we had expected as we looked at the behaviors and activities of those in the surrounding counties.
So last night it was announced that the chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence tested positive for COVID-19. The vice president had been in close contact with his chief of staff, but is resuming a normal schedule today. Is that safe? Should the vice president go into some kind of quarantine?
Yeah, that's concerning from two points of view. One, not only was it his chief of staff, but three others. So four people that work closely with the vice president tested positive. Now, Vice President Pence has tested negative yesterday. I'm sure he's being tested today because we're still in that window of, boy, once you get exposed to when you're positive. But really, what we're telling everybody, if you have that close of a contact, you should be quarantined. That's how we're going to slow this spread. For our leaders to go out and do what they're doing sends messages to us healthcare workers that is just so frustrating, because here we're telling the regular worker, hey, you know what, you can't be back at work, you need to take this time off. And then they're turning around saying, wait a second, you know, here we have politicians that are going and doing whatever they want and holding rallies, and you're going to tell me I can't work for 14 days. So from a healthcare professional point of view, we're really struggling with the way the message is being delivered.
And even though people, you know, who might be exposed to somebody who is COVID-19, they feel fine, they're not showing any symptoms, that's still not good enough, because they could be asymptomatic and still exposed to the virus, right?
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. That's why we're seeing these record numbers, is we have a lot of people out there who are asymptomatic. But like I just said, look at our numbers of hospitalizations and intensive care. That's what we have to be concerned about. You know, people are thinking, hey, are we going to get another stay at home or shelter in place? If we continue on the rate we're going, it would not surprise me. Look at what the states that are surrounding us. Look at Wisconsin, where some counties are at 25% positive. Michigan now just reporting unbelievably high numbers. We know Iowa has been very high. It's surrounding us, and we've been somewhat good keeping our rate at that 5-6%. But boy, believe me, we could get up to 10-15% pretty quickly if we don't really start to get rid of this fatigue and complacency and really start watching ourselves, especially as the weather cools and we're spending more time indoors.
Yeah, and you know, I think we're seeing that in the numbers that you're having at Central DuPage Hospital, that went from dramatically low to dramatically high in a relatively short period of time. It's something that can happen, you know, essentially overnight.
Yeah, it can. You know, in the thing that we look at is, you know, how many patients are we admitting? How many patients are we discharging? And, you know, for us yesterday, we had 8 discharges for COVID patients yesterday, and yet we're still at 40. So although our treatment and how we treat patients and the effectiveness of some of the treatments that we have is improved, we're still seeing these large numbers that are going to be start to be overwhelming for hospitals, as you've seen in Wisconsin and as you've seen in other parts of the country. There's parts of the country, now South Dakota people might say is rural, but we have hospitals in South Dakota that are so full that they're transporting patients by helicopter 130 miles for treatment. That is going to be devastating to those communities.
Let me take a break and we'll get to some questions for Dr. Most. 312-981-7200 to call or text. 312-981-7200. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, on with us like he is every Sunday morning. Some holiday scenarios here, Kev. Somebody saying we're putting out a table with candy spread out on it. We'll sit there 6 feet away and make sure the kids don't take it all. Is that safe?
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the safest things. And I'd say instead of 6 feet, get to 10 or 12 feet. Make sure you're wearing a mask. You know, it's difficult for kids to continue to wear masks when they're running from home to home, even with parents with them. But we know a lot of kids trick-or-treat without their parents, and I'm afraid we're going to lose those masks. Yeah. So, but if you want to do it, that's probably the safest way. You get to watch over them. You get to say thanks and have fun. Yeah. And yet you're trying to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. Here's another that says, 6 people getting together for Thanksgiving, is that safe? What precautions should we take?
Well, if you start to look at odds here very soon, 6 people, depending how close you're sitting, you have a chance that one, maybe even by the time we get to Thanksgiving, 2 of those people could be positive. So, you know, you still want to be careful. If you're going to do it, please just separate as far as you can apart. The other thing I tell people to do is turn on your ceiling fans, do things that are going to help the air turnover rate, whether it's opening the doors and keeping the heat on. But people that are going to get together, you should try to minimize everything you can as far as getting exposed.
Given that, I think I know the answer to this. We have 15 people coming to Thanksgiving. Everyone except my husband and I have had COVID. Is it safe for us to go?
Wow.
Yeah,
it tells you the odds right there. If they have 15 and 13 of them have already had COVID, that's amazing numbers there, which can tell you a couple things. You better be real careful, because even the individual who has had COVID does not mean that they cannot get COVID again or that they cannot harbor COVID and spread it. So I would be extremely careful, especially with the odds you just shared.
Yeah, I'll say. This is Paul. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yes, Dr. Most. My wife and I are in our 60s and 70s. We haven't been having any symptoms, but what is the general frequency that adults who aren't having symptoms should potentially have a COVID test?
Yeah, Paul, you know, it's interesting. As the numbers increase as much as they are here across the United States and the number of testing that we're doing, we are even cutting back on at the hospital. We're cutting back to not test asymptomatic people just because we're so concerned about the symptomatic people. So really, I tell everybody, pretend that you are positive, and that's how you should act day to day. And if you do that, you're going to do fine. Because if you test positive, there's no treatment that we're giving you. We're not giving you Tamiflu. We're not giving you remdesivir. We're not giving you a medication. We're just making you aware that you are positive to control your environment. And I tell everybody, we should all just pretend like we're positive and be really careful how we interact with individuals.
Here's Elsie for Dr. Kevin Most on WGN.
Hello.
Hi, Elsie.
I would like to ask if we're senior citizens over 80 years old. Is it safe if we go in to order food out? Is it safe to eat the food with this upsurge?
Absolutely, Elsie. You know, the biggest concern with this illness is the distribution of it from individual to individual. So if you order carryout food, if you're just going to go in and get it, and many of them now are doing curbside delivery, I wouldn't be concerned about the virus being on the plastic or being on the box. Wash your hands, take the food out of the packaging, put it on your plate, and then you surely have no concern. So certainly minimize your interaction at the restaurant. and try to do curbside where they're going to come to you and they put it in your back seat so that you have no interactions whatsoever. But right now is a time that we need to continue to support these restaurants as well as much as we can. And they're doing everything they can to make sure that they're safe. They're making sure their employees are asymptomatic and really trying to protect their business as well.
All right. If Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, always good to talk to you. If you see a guy who appears to be a bald guy trick-or-treating at your house this year,
I'll throw a Reese's out the window to you.
Something. Yeah, please. Don't embarrass me in front of the other kids, please. That's all I can say. Thanks, Kev. Talk to you soon.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk to you.
See, aren't you sick of this same theme song that we've had on the show? Shwani, what? You've been on the show for 10 years now?
It will be 10 years in December.
What date?
It will be December 26th is the actual date.
Oh, really?
But the 20th, since Christmas is on Friday, the 25th, Saturday's the 26th. Sunday, the 27th, I'm having my anniversary party.
Santa brought me a little extra present that year. It's a good thing we had the extra large stocking hung above the mantle, hung on the mantle with care, hung on the mantle with duct tape.
That's when we were over at that other place.
Yeah, over in the dump.
The dump, as you refer to.
The dump on Michigan Avenue. It's now a mattress store.
Yes.
How many years have you been on this show now, Andy?
Well, that's a good question. Probably about four.
4 years.
Yeah.
Well, you were doing sports updates in addition to anchoring.
Yeah.
So has it been 4 years?
I mean, four on this show. I've been back back here 6 years now, 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a pretty long time for you, Andy, also. Mm-hmm.
Call us veterans.
The veterans.
I got to say, you two have lasted longer than most of them that have been on, despite my every effort.
That's because we are professionals.
Lyle Dean couldn't make it.
No.
I drove him away.
He just got on his boat and left.
He retired. He got out of show business after me. Don Norton, same thing. Don Norton was here for quite a while.
And then I came in after Don.
Yeah.
Well,
and here we are.
And here we are, 10 years later.
My point being...
Yeah, what is the point?
For all these years that I've been doing the show, and I'm trying to remember exactly the year that Roy Leonard retired, and I took over the Sunday morning show on a regular basis. It's got to be 25 years.
I think you were roughly 25 years.
I've been listening to that same song every Sunday morning for 25 years.
So you're tired of it then? How can you be tired of that? It's Earth, Wind, and Fire. I never get tired of listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And our listeners have been texting in saying, don't change the song.
Yeah, I know.
How about Pleasant Valley Sunday?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Maybe we should.
That's from my era.
Rotate it with something else.
Another Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Yeah. That's what we need, more old
charcoal
stuff on this show.
Charcoal burning everywhere.
So we need more antiquated stuff on this show.
See Mrs. Gray, she's proud today because her roses are
in
bloom.
That's not why I brought it up, by the way.
Here's the 847 area code that says, tell Shwani to quit singing. No, that's not. I just made that up. 847 area code, please, in capital letters, shouting at me in capital letters, please don't change the opening. We need comforting consistency. Keep the song, I Sing Along.
See?
People sing
even
along.
Better.
People sing
even
along
better.
When they hear it. Always smiling and laughing on Sunday morning. Thanks, guys. Thank you for that.
And then music is part of it.
I guess so. Here's the 708 area code that says the liberal media loves it, too. What does that mean? What does... You know, you can't have a conversation about anything without. Here's another one. Please don't change your theme song. Love you, Dean, and the whole crew. Listening from Mountain Home, Arkansas.
Oh, nice.
Formerly from Oaklawn. Thank you for listening. Appreciate that. Please keep your theme song. And so, you know, some people are suggesting other songs.
Well, we can work Pleasant Valley Sunday into the rotation, can't we?
Well, I guess so. I guess so. Billie Holiday's Gloomy Sunday.
Oh,
that would be a nice. Yeah, that would be a nice theme song. Gloomy Sunday. Sunday Kind of Love by Etta James. It's a lovely song.
There you go.
It's a lovely song. Sunday Morning by Spanky and Our Gang. So people are suggesting. People are suggesting, but yeah, overall, people don't want me to change it. They don't want us to change the. Don't want us to change anything.
So we can play the theme, and then you can come in later if you don't want to hear it.
What do you mean? You play the regular theme song, and then I come in the studio?
And then you'll come in, yeah. So if you don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, that seems a little counterproductive, considering it's called Dean Richards Sunday Morning.
Well, you'll still be on the show.
Yeah, but I don't get to come in the room until after you play the song. That doesn't seem right to me.
Oh, Millard.
We have security
that was
guards.
Just a thought.
Security
just saying.
Guards holding me in the hallway to make sure I don't come in. Wow. That's different. Okay. Well, we'll continue working on that. As you can see, we do a lot of scientific research on everything that we do on this show. So we mentioned earlier also that our big Tree Time Spectacular is going to be different this year, obviously. A lot of people have been asking, are you guys going to be out at Tree Time this year? Because it's a holiday tradition for people to come out and watch our show out at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington every year. And we always have a blast. We have so much fun. And it's, you know, a capacity crowd when we go out there, always. And we just can't do it this year because of social distancing. We want to keep things safe. Nobody thinks that it's a good idea to have that many people in one place, especially with the numbers trending upward and breaking records on the wrong end right now. It certainly doesn't make any sense. So what we're going to do is a Tree Time special in a couple of weeks on November the 8th. And we'll try to do some of the things that we did out of Tree Time, obviously without a live audience in front of us. But we'll also, play back some segments, some fun segments that we've done over the past, several years out at Tree Time. So, you know, we're going to try to make the best of it all. That's what we're trying to do here, right? That's the best we can hope for with this. So make sure you're listening in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some fun with all of that. I also wanted to mention, I'm going to be filling in for Anna DeVlantis this coming Wednesday. I'll be on from 1 until 4 in the afternoon. Shwani, you want to be a guest on the show?
1 to 4 on Wednesday?
Yeah. I don't know if I want you for the whole the whole show. Now I'm not sure I want you at all if you have to think about it.
Well, I was just thinking of my schedule.
Social schedule?
My hectic schedule take time out of my busy broadcast day.
Yeah, you can go rent VHS tapes at the library some other day. Isn't that what you do during your spare time?
I go to I guess.
You go to the library and go, what do you mean you don't have VHS tapes anymore?
I actually did used to do that a couple of times. But 1 to 4 on Wednesday?
You think about it.
I will. I'll think about it.
You think about it.
I'll have my people call your people.
Okay.
All right.
Have I ever taken any of your calls?
No,
ever?
You never have. The one time you answered, and as soon as I said, hi, this is Dave.
That was an
that
accident.
That was it.
Click.
Yeah. It's an accident. Then I got caller ID. You're the reason I got caller ID.
Gladly pay for caller ID, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, think about that. Anyway,
this
coming Wednesday, Andy, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. I'll be there.
Also, see, that's the correct way to respond, Shwani. That's the correct way.
You going to be on, Andy?
Sure.
All
if
right.
Needed,
let's
I'll be
do
there.
This then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't good enough just with me. Now that Andy's going to be here, now it's okay for you to be there.
We're arguing already, and we aren't even close to Wednesday yet.
Jeez. There goes my holiday spirit right out the window. All right, fine. Coming up.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Coming up, celebrities doing virtual reunions. There's a ton of them today. Let me tell you about a couple of them next on...
WGN.
This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Nice to have you here with us today. On this chilly day, you're looking for something to do inside. There are all kinds of virtual things that you can watch. We've been telling you about these over the past several weeks of special performances and get-togethers. Last week we talked with the renowned Robert Falls, the artistic director at the Goodman Theater, about this special performance of Brian Dennehy, the late Brian Dennehy, in the production Death of a Salesman, that started at the Goodman Theater here in Chicago and was critically acclaimed, went to Broadway, where it won all the Tony Awards. The play won, Brian Dennehy won. As I've been putting it, simply one of the greatest dramatic performances that you will ever see. And I was very fortunate that I was lucky enough to be able to see Brian Dennehy on stage, almost every time that he was here in Chicago. And it was always a magnificent treat to see the master at work. And today's the final day that you can see a Brian Dennehy performance, his Broadway award-winning performance, virtually online for free. If you go to goodmantheater.org/salesman, you'll be able to see the link and get all the information on how you can watch this. As I mentioned, there is no cost to do this. Today's the last day. But if you want to make a donation, they are taking donations for the organization that is supporting out-of-work theater people, actors, actresses, musicians, stagehands, ticket takers, anybody that's been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic that are now out of work. This fund helps in their time of need. So you get to watch this amazing performance by Brian Dennehy of this classic American play, Death of a Salesman. And, if you're able to do so, if you can afford it, to make a donation to help out, that's great. If not, they're not asking for any money for this, but it is something that is available. I also wanted to mention to you a performance virtually that's going on. Today also is the last day in which Michael Weber, who is the artistic director of the Porchlight Music Theater in Chicago, takes you on a tour of Broadway's history from the late 1800s to present day, sharing stories about how musicals were created, porch light performances from Showboat and Girl Crazy and Funny Girl and A Chorus Line, Les Miserables, the list goes on and on. And this is streaming through today. Today will be the final day for this. You can go to porchlightmusictheater.org to get more information on that. And then there are some cast reunions that are going on today and over the next few days. The Happy Days reunion getting together, Broadway stars getting together, casts of other television shows getting together. They are political benefits. They are benefits for political candidates. Let me take a break and I'll come back and tell you more about it, because at least one of the cast members of the Happy Days reunion is not so happy that there is a reunion benefit going on that will benefit Joe Biden. It is Scott Baio, who is has been extremely public and vocal about his support for President Trump. Tell you the whole story of those not so happy days going on with these former cast members.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
10:35, it's Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Oh, Richie, Fonzie, Potsy, Ralph Malf.
Hold me when I hold you. So right.
The
can't be wrong.
And classic TV show Happy Days is having a reunion of most of their characters tonight. It's going to be a virtual reunion. This is something very interesting that's happening this election cycle. I don't ever remember this happening before. But, you know, we've never had these kind of circumstances before with the pandemic going on and the need for things to be virtual like this, like we do this year. So there have been virtual reunions of lots of different shows and movies. The Princess Bride cast got together for a reunion. The some of the cast of Seinfeld got together for a virtual reunion. These have been reunions to benefit political parties and political candidates. Now, I've purposely really not talked about politics on this show. I try to keep it a little lighter, and I try to keep it a little more entertainment oriented. And I have no plans of, you know, making this a big political discussion now, except to say that this is kind of an interesting phenomena that's going on. This thing that in this form we've never seen before. For example, Mike Love and the Beach Boys did a big benefit concert for President Trump. I haven't really heard of too many other virtual reunion kind of benefits on the Republican side. Most of them have been on the Democratic side. But how this relates to Happy Days is very interesting, because this Happy Days reunion is going to be taking place today. And it is going to involve Ron Howard, who is one of the most powerful people in show business as a director. He's going to be part of it. Henry Winkler just won an Emmy Award. He's going to be part of it. Anson Williams, Donnie Most is going to be part of it. Mrs. C is going to be part of it all. The actress who played Mrs. C, Marion Ross, is going to be part of it. Who is not going to be part of it is Scott Baio. And, you know, Scott Baio has been a very, very vocal supporter of President Trump. And he says he thinks this whole thing is bizarre, and has said, among other things, to take a show like Happy Days that represented traditional American values, good morals, and a slice of Americana, and use that show to promote the ideals of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is a little bizarre to him. That's his political point of view. Obviously, all of the other cast members feel differently, but everybody is entitled to you know, their opinion on this. I guess John Stamos is also going to be part of it. I don't exactly understand this, but Scott Baio has commented that he thought that John Stamos volunteered to play the Chachi role that Scott Baio originated on the show. Stamos volunteered to fill in for him. And Scott Baio reacted to that, saying, "I think Stamos always wanted to be Chachi instead of playing second fiddle to a three-year-old," referring to him playing Uncle Jesse in Full House. So, you know, this virtual reunion is going to take place. There's going to be a virtual reunion for the cast members of the motion picture Superbad coming up. There have been several. There are going to be more. This whole virtual reunion thing is kind of a different thing on the political scene. Or is it? Is it that unusual for there to be endorsements of political candidates by famous people? You know, I have always said this. I'm pretty sure that we've had this discussion every election cycle since I've been here on WGN. Do you care what celebrities have to say about, you know, and who the celebrities are endorsing? Some people do follow, you know, people who are in the public eye because of their work with political and social organizations, and they take their words as, you know, something as an endorsement and something that they follow. Other people could not be more opposite. And if a celebrity says something, they, you know, whatever the, you know, if a celebrity said the sky is blue, somebody else would say the sky is red. That's how much that they disagree. So that's what I want to open up the phone lines. I hope this isn't going to devolve into, you know, a nasty kind of political discussion. I'm really only interested in talking about whether or not celebrity endorsements mean anything to you. Like, you know, because that's basically what these virtual reunions are, right? Whether it's Mike Love and the Beach Boys, or whether it's actor John Voight, who has done a commercial for President Trump, or whether it's Scott Baio, who says he doesn't believe in socialism, or Marxists referring to the Happy Days reunion, or the cast of Seinfeld for Joe Biden, or most of the cast of Happy Days for Joe Biden, or the others, whatever side they're on, it's essentially a celebrity endorsement, isn't it? And they're hoping that you will, you know, that you will, you know, if you're a fan of their show, of their movie, of their product, that you will tune into their virtual reunion to see them now because you're interested in that show. And, you know, I guess they're, you know, figuring that you'll listen to some of their, you know, what they have to say politically. 312-981-7200 is my telephone number. And let's start off with Laura on WGN. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. I love you. I put you on my calendar for February to check in and see if you get your major cold.
I'm telling you, you can depend on it. January, late January, February, major cold. I've got my fingers crossed I'm not going to get it this year because I'm being so careful about the COVID.
Well, I hope so. And I'm an avid fan. Brian Dennehy was just so magnificent. So I'm glad that you had the opportunity to see him in person.
Yeah.
My question, I don't even know if I want your opinion, but just if you can ask the audience or just say, hey, I have been noticing so many religious organizations and churches weighing in on candidates, having political events, posting signs and billboards that are politically related. And I used to think that there was this thing called separation of church and state, and that was how they got their tax exemption.
Right. That was my understanding also, that religious organization had to steer clear of any kind of political affiliation if they wanted their tax exemption. You know, a lawyer would know better probably than you or I on this, but that was always my understanding.
By the way, for anybody out there that wants to complain, there is a place that you can go to the IRS, and you report these organizations, whoever they are. I'm not talking any specific party, and you report them, and it puts them at risk for losing their tax exemption. And that is how it should be, because we need to maintain the separation of church and state.
It's kind of what America was based on, right?
Right. And whether it be on the pulpit, whether it be on signage, whether it be on holding events, we must do that.
Yeah. How do you feel about the celebrity issue that I brought up? How do you feel about celebrities talking about political candidates or participating in, like, you know, these virtual reunions to raise money for their, you know, political affiliation of their choice?
I love it. They're American citizens, and they often have a wide variety of audience members. And I think if somebody supports their work, I think it offers them an opportunity to get to know them more intimately. I know that right now there are certain actors and actresses and people who I would not support their work any longer because of who it is that they are supporting, because I feel I'm so secure in who I'm voting for.
So strongly about your belief. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if somebody supports who I believe is really not the right candidate, I can't support him anymore.
Yeah.
But no, they have a great following, and I like to see them use their following for more than just getting money. I mean, and I like to see that the major organizations, the newspapers and medical, New York England Medicine, some of these people who have never weighed in politically are weighing in for the first time in more than 100 years of their background. And I think it's needed. I think we are really in a very exceptional time in our history.
Yeah, it's a very interesting year in so many ways. For me, with these celebrity endorsements, I feel like this. I mean, because I talk to the celebrities a lot, and frequently their political and social views come up in our conversations. Sometimes I ask, more often than not, I don't. I don't feel like it's any of my business to. It's like if you walked up to somebody at a party and said, "So, are you a Democrat or Republican?" You just wouldn't do that to.
It's one thing to ask somebody. It's another thing if they want to say.
Yeah, if somebody wants to say it, because and this is how I feel about the celebrity thing, I can choose to not pay one bit of attention to what you're saying. You know, I learned long ago to let things go in one ear and out the other. It's just that easy. So, that's how I feel about it. They are Americans, and they're entitled to express themselves just like anybody else is. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, they're entitled to say it. It doesn't mean I have to pay attention to what you're saying.
Right. And if anybody thinks they're coming out unscathed by saying what they think, they're really not being realistic, because they're whatever side they are on, the other side could hold it against them. So they are really taking a risk, and I myself just support that risk. But thank you so much. I have you on my calendar for January and February.
Yeah,
I hope you stay well. I have followed you for such a long time. As I said, I'm so glad you had a chance to see Brian. So magnificent.
He was magnificent. Have some Vicks Vapo rub ready. Just in case, I may need a 44-gallon drum of that. Thanks for the call, Laura. This is Jim. You're on WGN. Hello.
Well, morning, Dean. How are you today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I guess we can't. I don't mind the celebrities having their opinions and voicing their opinions, but if you're like a concert guy and stuff, don't bring that to the concert. Don't throw that in your performance, because it does nothing but antagonize half the people that are there. Takes the mood down a bit. I mean, Mellencamp is famous for that. Barbara Streisand is famous for that. Seen them both, seen that happen, and it just takes away from a show. You know, you don't see the Stones doing that. You didn't see Neil Diamond doing that. I don't think you see Elton John doing that necessarily.
But it just
takes away from the performance.
Yeah, people have been saying, don't forget to vote. They've been encouraging people to vote.
That's fine.
Which I think is okay. But like the ones that you've mentioned, I'm going to throw Kid Rock into that barrel also, because he brings his politics, super ultra conservative politics as well. And, you know, I think that's,
and Nugent
that's
too.
Just as wrong.
And Nugent too.
Yeah, Ted Nugent.
Is.
Right. Even more so. I agree. People have come to see a concert. You want to remind people to vote. I think that's, you know, who can argue with anyone telling somebody, don't forget to vote, find a way to vote.
That's responsible. That's responsible.
That's just simply being American. I agree with you. Jim, thanks.
Absolutely, buddy.
Appreciate your call.
Have a great day.
You do the same.
Yep.
WGN 847-877-9881, or Amy will sell your home. com. It's 10:52. We are talking about these virtual reunions, these celebrity virtual reunions that have been taking place, that are about to take place, including this Happy Days reunion, virtual reunion that's taking place online later on today. Somebody had texted in saying, while I doubt the sanity of a celebrity backer of the current president, that is their right. I won't watch something that they perform in. I watched Happy Days when it was on TV the first time. When I think of Happy Days, I don't think of Scott Baio. Think of the original cast. That's an interesting take on it. Here's another that says, is Scott Baio really a big-time celebrity anymore? He also played the title character in Charles in Charge, but I don't care for what he believes in right now. All right, so everybody's entitled to their views. Here's another text. Personally, I believe celebrities should stick to entertaining and not try to sway the public. To leave that to the politicians and the American public, that should be smart enough to make up their own minds without listening to Hollywood celebrities. So you know, lots of viewpoints on this. I was trying to think about this, if anyone's endorsement has really swayed my my vote on this. And I can't really say. I mean, I'm around these celebrities all the time. I hear, you know, talk like this, you know, in these entertainment circles. I wouldn't say all the time, but I hear it. And I can't really say that, oh, so-and-so said blah, 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 therefore I now believe that. I mean, you know, I would hope that most people have their own brain and can make up their own mind. And, you know, think about that. They're really the only endorsements that I think that I go by are the ones that I was talking about earlier this morning. I was talking about that I had filled out my ballot yesterday to drop off. For the judicial selections, I don't know anything about the judges. Yeah, honestly, I don't know who they are. And I don't want to vote for somebody based on an, you know, certain ethnic looking name or, you know, genders, or I want to vote based on, you know, what are qualifications. I don't know what those are for the judicial selections. So for years, I've been going to this site called voteforjudges.org, and they put together a collection of endorsements by various bar associations, actual lawyers who try cases in front of these judges. You know, they take a collection of these different bar association endorsements and post them. So if you feel like your views would line up with a certain bar association, then you can look at what their endorsements are and either follow their endorsements or not. And I have been doing that. I think those are the only endorsements that I follow in any way. But I can't say that if some actor or a singer, I think they're entitled to their views. It doesn't bother me when somebody, you know, says their political views, because I just don't pay attention to it. It's as simple as that. They're not writing the Bible. They're just saying that that's how they feel. Okay, fine. That's how you feel. I've already made up my mind on how I feel about it. But let's see how you feel about all of this. And let's go to Kathy. Appreciate you hanging on, Kathy. Hello. You're on WGN. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I just want to say I really don't care how a political figure, or I'm sorry, a celebrity feels about politics. Who cares? You have your opinion. I have my opinion. No. And I don't listen to them. I think I just keep remembering one time Johnny Carson said, I never let my political views out of the open because that offends half of the audience.
Yeah.
And I just think that so much.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of these celebrities don't care if they offend half of their audience, you know, and they give their viewpoints.
Other thing that I thought of, too, is if they're so gung-ho, why don't they give them their own money?
Well, I think they do that.
not as much, I don't think. You know, I will never, I try not to let anybody know my political views. If anybody asks me, I tell them I'm independent.
Yeah.
Because I can vote for the right, I can vote for the left. I'm never a straight ticket.
Right. Have you voted already? Are you going to vote until November 3rd? What are you going to do?
I voted already on Monday.
You voted Monday. Did you go to a polling place to do it, or did you do a mail-in? So you did.
No,
you did early voting.
Right. There's my husband and I, and I have four adult children, and everybody voted in person.
Good.
But my one son, who did it by mail, but he always does it by mail. He's been doing it since he was 18, and he's 30 now. So.
Yeah, good, good. That sounds great. Well, I'm glad you called up today, Kathy. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Hello, Pete. You're on WGN.
Hi there. Let me get you off a speaker here. It sounds better that way.
Pete sounds very professional. You sound like a professional announcer, Pete.
Well, I do voices as a hobby.
Yes, you do.
Including a certain person who's leaving the air at the end of the year. Anyway, that wasn't even practice, so that was just impromptu.
That was good.
I'll listen to the endorsements given by the actors and performers who I think have got something above their shoulders besides a smile. And but there's one group that I'm suspicious of. I'm leery of. I don't know that I want to follow their their recommendations for the simple reason that, are they really saying what's good for the country, or is it what's good for them? And that's comedians.
Hmm.
Are they looking for what's best for the country, or more grist for their mill?
Oh, I see. to get whoever will give them the most comedic material for the next 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Interesting.
I think the reason we're seeing all the actors and such come out is just that this is such a turbulent time. This time around is just so wound up emotionally in every aspect.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I have to get the news on, Pete, but I appreciate your call, and I hope you have a great day today. Floated the idea earlier that I was thinking about changing the theme song to the show, this Sunday morning theme song from Earth, Wind, and Fire, just because we've been playing it for so many years. And we've been flooded with texts and opinions. And while we don't have the early mail-in ballots in yet on what we should do with the Sunday morning theme song, we are waiting for the collar counties still and their votes on what we should do. It appears most people would like us to leave the theme song alone.
Is that the consensus?
As I think one texter put it most succinctly, Dean, stop thinking. So I guess, I don't know.
I mean, what would the Andy Griffith Show be without the theme song we all know and love?
Maybe Andy Griffith wanted to change it after 23 years, and he couldn't because everybody
knew it.
Everybody would, like, browbeat him. Leave it alone. It's okay. That's all right. It's fine.
Just asking.
Most people seem to like it, so that's...
It seems like the overwhelming... Did you get anybody that offered up other suggestions?
Well, yeah. I mean, there have been other suggestions, but where's this one? This one text said, one person said that every time he hears it, he wishes Dean would change it.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
Every time I hear the song now, I'm going to think about your thinking about changing it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see?
So,
see what I've started? I've started a movement.
You've started something. That's what you've started.
I've given us something that we can argue about after the election.
Okay.
Because, you know, once the election's over, I'm sure that America will suddenly become the most harmonious and peaceful place, that everyone will abide by the results of the election, and harmony will reign supreme in America. So we're going to need something new to argue about. I'm hoping that we can make my theme song the new, flashpoint in America.
That to be the argumentative issue.
Right.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear what... I can't even think of any of the commentators on Fox. Who are some of the commentators on Fox?
Well, Chris Wallace, for example.
No, but who's the guy that does the talk? Oh, Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Here, let me, now the joke, the joke's ruined. I can't wait to hear what Sean Hannity has to say about my theme song.
Send him an email.
Somebody says, please don't change your theme song. Well, now, see, they're coming in here, and they're making me feel bad. It's so relaxing to hear it on a sleepy Sunday morning.
And this is a perfect example. As cloudy as it is.
This is a sleepy Sunday morning.
It's a sleepy Sunday morning.
I just woke up about 10 minutes ago, to be honest with you.
Oh, so that explains it. Okay.
All right. Well,
we have 15 minutes.
I know. I know what we have. I know we have a short show today. Relax. I wanted to remind everybody we're going to be doing our Tree Time show, but not at Tree Time. This year, we're going to be doing our Tree Time Christmas Spectacular here from the Skyline Studios. We're going to try to recreate as much fun as we possibly can on Sunday, November the 8th. And Schwani and Andy will be thrilled at the kinds of things that we come up with that they will be able to be part of this year.
I can't wait.
I'm trying to think of food to bring in that you may not like, and then we'll try to have you eat it.
You know, that was a very popular feature.
That was.
Face your food fear.
Face your food fear.
Well, I faced it and ran.
Andy.
Oh, I know what I'm bringing, Andy.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm going to bring, Andy.
What are you bringing, Andy?
A vegetable tray.
Oh.
Fresh broccoli, fresh cauliflower.
Oh, that's the worst thing you could possibly do to Andy.
Well, you know, maybe not.
Although, you know what? Andy's been better lately.
Yeah, see, maybe not. You know, I've turned over a new leaf.
Would you like it steamed?
He's expanding his food horizons a little bit.
I'd like it deep fried, to be honest with you, but, you know, that's probably going to defeat the point.
Yeah, I would say.
Probably herring out of the question for you.
Herring is definitely out of the question.
You don't want that either.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think I'll take a pass on that, too.
Yeah.
Although I tried it. You got to try it.
And then you admitted that you didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was horrible.
Yeah.
But I will probably never put it in my mouth again, if you really want to know. So, anyway, that's coming up in two Sundays from now. This coming Wednesday, I'm going to be filling in for Anna DeVlantis from 1 until 4 in the afternoon. So I hope everyone can tune in for that. We have the World Series continues tonight, right?
Yes, Game 5 after the crazy finish in Game 4 last night. Series all tied at 2.
Yeah, so it's a busy night. You've got that. What time is that?
A little after 7.
Okay. Oh, so that's going to be on right around the same time. I don't know what time 60 Minutes will eventually get on, because they always have their football delays. But President Trump on 60 Minutes tonight, that's going to be interesting. That's that Leslie Stahl interview that they've been talking about all week that's going to be on. That's going to be interesting to watch. And, Shwani, have you heard about the CNN documentary called The First Ladies?
Yes.
They're focusing on Eleanor Roosevelt tonight,
mm-hmm.
who I think is one of the most interesting characters in American history. And I'm looking forward to watching that tonight also.
Bunch of stuff to watch.
You ever watch the show called Somebody Feed Phil?
Oh.
Somebody Feed Phil with Phil Rosenthal, who used to be the executive producer on Everybody Loves Raymond. And then he did, he started a travel and food documentary show on PBS. And now it's on Netflix, where he goes all over the world and tries different foods. It's the most entertaining food and travel show that you can find. In a moment, my conversation with Phil Rosenthal about season 2 of his new show, Somebody Feed Phil, next on WGN.
WGN. That's as perfect a bite of meat as I've ever had in my whole life. Look at this face.
It's Italy. Spectacular, delicious Italy.
It's so beautiful, I could watch it all day.
From Florence, with its amazing gelato,
vediamo una!
And very passionate chefs,
qui alla finestra!
Into the countryside in search of new flavors with my friend and favorite chef, Nancy Silverton.
Phil Rosenthal was a television writer who became a producer and probably is best known as the writer and creator and executive producer of the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. We got to know Phil when we visited the Everybody Loves Raymond set a couple of times. When the show was on WGN-TV, he's come to WGN, the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond. We were fortunate enough to have with us on WGN many times, and they became pals. After the show went off the air, he started a show called I'll Have What Phil's Having on PBS, a travel and food show that was quirky and charming and led to a new show that Phil Rosenthal now creates and hosts called Somebody Feed Phil, which is on Netflix. And Phil Rosenthal was scheduled to be with us on the WGN TV morning news to talk about the show. He got preempted because of a news conference that was going on, held on for about 40 minutes. And then we sat down and recorded an interview with him instead. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. That was a great press conference. It's like, why isn't that the national press conference? Well, I'm watching it from Chicago. I'm like, this should be from the White House, shouldn't it? That information.
I know you're a big fan of press conferences. You love political press conferences more than anything else. And that's why we have literally kept you on hold for a half an hour, thinking that it was going to end so we could get you on live, but not to be.
That's all right.
But It is essential, and I'm so happy to be able to talk to you. I could not be happier for you now as you are entering season four of Somebody Feed Phil. It's the craziest idea that has taken off and is so charming and interesting and funny. And it just, how do you explain the success of all this?
I don't know. We've spoken before, and I told you the way I sold the show was with one line. I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything. And that idea is, I think, what carries us forward, because that is kind of what it is. I'm the guy who watches a show like Bourdain's and go, he's amazing. I'm never doing that. And I figured there were people out there like me. So this show is for those people, the people who, when they travel, if they travel, they want a hotel with a pillow and a bed, right? They want food that they recognize as food, yeah. And they want beautiful things, and they want to enjoy a vacation, not necessarily live in a tree in Borneo and have tribesmen pound nails into their chest to make a tattoo. That's not my vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we live vicariously through you, and the way that you travel and, you know, sometimes reluctantly, try things and approach things, I think are the way that most people do it. Did I read correctly that the whole idea for this came out of the two episodes that you did on Everybody Loves Raymond in Italy, where you actually went to Italy?
Yeah. Ray, I asked Ray what he wanted to do on his hiatus between season one and season two. And he said, I go to the Jersey Shore. And I said, that's nice. Have you ever been to Europe? And he said, nah. And I said, why not? He goes, oh, I'm not really interested in other cultures. I was like, we got to do that episode where we send him to Italy with that attitude and send him back with my attitude. Someone who's excited about other cultures and Italy especially, and the food in Italy, the people in Italy. So I write this episode and we go there and shoot it. And that took some convincing, by the way. But what happens in the show, this arc of a character who gets woke, I saw happen to Ray Romano, the person. Huh. He got excited. He got it. I saw my friend get it. And when that happened, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do this for everybody?
Yeah.
So that's the show.
So what are we going to be seeing on season four? I mean, I don't know if you can ever top the episode that you did here in Chicago, but you know, you can try in a new season.
Can I be honest with you? One of my favorite episodes, honestly, that was so, I love Chicago so much. I love all you people. And I love the food, and I love the church that I went to and sang amen with those beautiful people. I loved everything about it. It's the most handsome, great city in the United States. I just think it's wonderful. What are you going to see this season? We start in Rio de Janeiro, one of the more beautiful spots on the face of the earth. Then we're doing San Francisco. Then we're going to Singapore. Then we're going to the Mississippi Delta. And we're ending in Hawaii.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And we got it all done before COVID. We got it. These were filmed, like, we finished filming in January. So just under the wire.
That's fantastic. I'm going to look forward to all of that. I wanted to ask you one thing. Sure. Did I hear correctly that you guys are going to be doing an Everybody Loves Raymond table read, a charity that's coming up? I think it's at the end of the month.
Right. That's for the Myeloma Foundation, which Peter Boyle passed away from. So as a tribute to him and an effort to raise money to cure this disease, you can go online and find all this info. And we gathered together the cast members and we did a table reading of our favorite scenes.
That's fantastic. So you've got Ray, you've got Patty Heaton, Brad Garrett,
Moran,
your wife, who played Amy on the show, going to be in it. And sadly, it had to be a little bit weird to not have Doris Roberts and Peter there, right?
Of course. We're missing our parents. Missing our parents.
Yeah.
This happens. It happens in real life, too. It affects us. You know, we were lucky enough and blessed to do the show for 9 years. And what happens is you make a family, not just on stage, but off stage. So we're all family, and we're still, you know, Ray's family and my family, we vacation together still. And we get together often and have dinners and you know, in non-COVID times, we love each other. So it was really great, though, to do this because we hadn't put on the old costumes again.
Yeah.
And take the car out around the track. It was really fun.
Yeah, the information is on the Myeloma Foundation's website of how you can watch it.
Yeah.
Season 4 of Somebody Feed Phil will kick off on Netflix. What is the exact date of the premiere date?
Friday, October 30th. Coming up.
Right around the corner. We're going to look forward to that. We always love to visit with you, and nice that you could borrow somebody's house to make it look like you live in a nice place. Really appreciate it.
This is my son's old bedroom that my wife converted into her Pilates room. You see the
thing? I wondered what that torture device over your right shoulder
was. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
That's her thing. Yeah. In fact, I got to clear out. She has a session coming up.
Appreciate talking to you, Phil. Thank you so much. It's always great.
I love you. Love Chicago. Stay safe, Chicago. Soon we'll be back. I know it.
Yeah, so that's going to be at the end of the month. If you do a search, Google search for that, you can get more information. I'm going to be filling in for Ana DeVlantes this coming Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m. here on most of the same station. And we'll have more with Phil Rosenthal. In fact, Phil will be joining us live when I fill in for Ana this coming Wednesday afternoon. So we'll have Phil live. We'll talk more about that benefit. You can call in and ask him questions and give him compliments about his show, Season 4, Somebody Feed Phil, that's premiering at the end of the month also on Netflix. So we'll look forward to that. As always, we are looking forward to being with Bob Surratt every weekday morning from 8 to 8:30 here on WGN Radio. And, of course, on the WGN Morning News every morning as well with all the entertainment news. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be talking with Octavia Spencer, one of my favorite actresses, Academy Award winner, Octavia Spencer. She's in a brand new movie that is on HBO Max right now called The Witches. It's a remake of the Roald Dahl story. And is, you know, fun for Halloween. It'll be in theaters in a few weeks. But we'll have a nice chat with Octavia Spencer tomorrow morning. In later on in the week, her co-star in that movie, also an Oscar winner, Anne Hathaway. We're going to be talking with Chicago's very own Vince Vaughn this week on the WGN TV Morning News as well. That, along with all of the news, sports, weather, traffic, everything that you need to start your day. WGN television. We're looking forward to that. And we'll see you here next Sunday morning as well. We've got NFL football coming up next on 720 WGN Chicago.